Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Jamal with a stroke of genius.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of Birds at the Rodeo. My name is Eric, your residential Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
And again, this is Birds at the Rodeo. We're at episode 10, man. How you feeling? Episode 10.
I'm feeling good about episode 10.
He's feeling sick. That's the only thing he's feeling good about.
Sick about what I got to talk about, man.
He's sick about what he has to talk about. So, hey, man, with that being said, I'm going to let you get right to it. Because as it says on the rundown, the first thing on the board, it literally says, what in the world is Dallas doing?
Well, free agency, though, or with the trade deadline coming up, what are we doing? But in terms of this game,
against Atlanta.
Yeah, it's the season's over.
Okay, he finally uttered the words. The season is over.
Dak is about to be on
injury
reserve.
He's on IV, yeah, yep.
CD was dealing with the shoulder injury in this game.
Yeah.
Deron Bland hasn't played a single down this season.
Nope.
Mike is gone. Every injury that they told us was minor has looked like way more significant than they initially thought it was to be. So.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm looking at our medical staff at this point. Like, what are you guys doing? Because you keep telling us, y'all keep giving us weak projections that the injuries are actually far extending, and
right. We're
at a position to where we are literally down to. I mean, all of our best players are out right now, except for Trayvon Diggs, who himself is coming off a torn ACL.
He looked hurt in the game. Yeah, he looked hurt in the game.
He was banged up coming in. He was questionable. He didn't even practice all week.
Right.
So, I mean, this is no one – you can't really predict injuries of this caliber, but
– I mean, that's the NFL, right? Next man up, and if you're not prepared for that, then
– at this point, every – when we accumulate going forward, it's kind of hurting our draft pick.
Right.
Because we're in a position to where we could get a pretty good pick.
Yeah,
might be in the perfect scenario for me, we get a top pick and then use that pick to trade to, because we need a lot of pieces.
Going. Yeah, we talked about that last episode.
We need a lot, and I even have. I have the picks. I'll save that for farther down the line.
Yeah.
It's only week. What is it? Week 10.
Yes.
Oh yeah, this is episode 10.
This is week 9. This is week 9 because we're 6-2. We did episode 0 like previewing the season. This is week 9. This is week 9.
Okay, makes sense.
This is week 9. Yeah,
makes
sense. This week.
So, right. So yeah, I'll save for my mock draft or when we have a better understanding of what pick we have and where we're looking at. But yeah, man, this season it's done.
It's over.
It's done. We'll have a new coach next year. We'll have a new offensive coordinator. Mostly, we'll have a full.
Y'all just need to clean house.
We'll have an entire new coaching staff
next
season.
Y'all just need
to
clean house.
We'll have hopefully a good pick. We'll have all of our top players coming back. Mm-hmm. All of our players signed.
Mm-hmm.
We should be signing Micah this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of what I want to do is in terms of the draft. I want to. There's picks I want, but there's also some free agents coming up that I want us to look into.
Mm-hmm.
So this season might be over, but
you're looking ahead.
Our future isn't. We should be set up for the future.
Yeah.
We should be set up to be more successful in the future.
You hope.
We just need, like I said, a new coaching staff for sure.
Yeah.
Even in this game, it was winnable. I didn't like what I saw. The offense still just looked archaic. They couldn't really move the ball too well.
Yeah.
Didn't run the ball too well. Didn't stop the run. It seemed like there was a play, fourth down play, I think it was. It was a third or fourth down, but a big stop we needed. Only had 10 players on the field.
Yeah.
There was a play where we had the ball, only needed – it was a bad spot, in my opinion, but fourth and one, went for it, and we ended up having 12 players on the field.
Yeah.
So then had to punt the ball away instead of going for it on super fourth and short.
Right.
I mean
– I just – my biggest takeaway from the Dallas-Atlanta game, Dallas looked lost on offense. They look lost on defense. I legit mean lost. I mean, that Darnell Mooney touchdown, Trayvon Diggs legit, like, he was trying to figure out where he was supposed to line up. Like, they didn't even look like they knew what they were doing out there. It just...
It's the same concept that the 49ers killed us on. Right. Same concept that the Falcons killed us on. Mm-hmm. Same concept that we actually used to score on against the 49ers. And can't remember how... I don't think we ran really much of that in this game, but the same plays, same concepts that the entire NFL uses.
Right.
And we just refuse to. Our offense, like you said, yeah, they did look lost. I'll be a man of my word. I said if there were plays where there were guys open and Dak just missed them with the throw, or mm-hmm. he just didn't see them, I would blame him.
Mm-hmm.
And in this game, that happened one single time.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Out of I don't know how many plays we ran, 50, 60-something plays,
right,
probably.
Right.
One single time was there a wide-open receiver that Dak missed. And, yeah, so the that play didn't happen. Jalen Tolbert was open on the Falcons defensive line, I think, had what, 6 sacks through 8 games, which was
They didn't get a lot of pressure.
Which was, I think they said, was on pace for the worst in NFL history.
Which is crazy,
obviously,
because like their defense is like elite everywhere else.
And in this game, I remember that there were 2 back-to-back sacks.
Grady
Jarrett,
dog.
The first sack was Dak's fault. It was on. That's what happened. He missed Jalen Tolbert on a wide open. He was wide open, like streaking down the field,
uh-huh.
and ended up taking a sack on that play. And then the next play got another sack.
Yeah.
Two back-to-back sacks on the team who had 6 sacks in 8 games.
Right.
And that was a complete meltdown from the offensive line on that play. So one of them was Dak's fault. The next one was offensive line's fault.
Yeah.
I mean, I just didn't like what I saw before, even before the injuries happened.
Right. And I mean, you definitely don't like it now.
Oh yeah. Now there's just nothing.
I think
a lot of people are excited, I guess, or I don't know if they're
excited,
not excited. There's a lot, like I said in previous episodes, there are people who are just completely done with Dak Prescott more than the team.
I work with some Cowboys fans that are done with Dak.
And it's just baffling to me because anyone who thinks Cooper Rush is about to have success in this offense is just, I don't want to be mean or call anyone out of their names, but they're unintelligent and they're... I question their knowledge about the game,
uh-huh.
because anyone who wants to point to the 2020 season when Cooper Rush went, or 2020, that was the year Dak went down the entire season. So
yeah,
maybe it was 2022.
Yeah, it was last season.
No, it wasn't last season.
It was 2022. It was 2022.
I think Cooper Rush went 5-1 in that span.
Yep.
What they fail to realize, or I don't know,
I
guess they
not
forgot,
good.
Or we. In the season where we were a top 3 ranked offense,
yeah.
In between seasons where we were the number 1 offense, we were a bottom, I think we were ranked like 30th
mm-hmm.
in offensive around that time. And our defense was holding
caring.
Teams to I think like 12 points a game in that
season. Because y'all were averaging like 15 points, I think. And the defense, like you said, was holding them like 12 points a game. Yeah, no, y'all's defense carried that stretch for sure.
If you think this defense that we have right now
is going to
be
Cooper.
Holding people to 12 points,
oh no.
Sadly mistaken.
Oh no, yeah, no.
Sadly mistaken. So I'm just, anyone who thinks that Dak Prescott would be in, or any other quarterback, especially Cooper Rush,
right.
would be in this situation. That's my question for people. I want actual evidence. I don't want people. I don't want speculation. What you think? I want someone to name me a quarterback who's been in a situation before all the injuries, offensively as bad as Dak Prescott and still had success. Anyone you think is better than Dak Prescott most likely has two receivers. It's or they're Patrick Mahomes. We'll set him to the side because he's I've said multiple times he's an alien. No one, Dak Prescott or any other quarterback in the NFL, in my opinion, should even be in the conversation with him. But you look around the entire league, you won't see another quarterback.
Would you say Lamar? Lamar doesn't even have like he has an offense, but it's not like a traditionally built offense, right? He doesn't have top notch receivers.
Well, yeah, and when you look at that, he has the exact same amount of success as Dak. Dak has a 2-5 playoff record. Lamar Jackson has a two and four playoff record.
But like,
and their regular season success has been similar.
But who's the better player to you?
Dak.
Better than Lamar Jackson?
I think in the top, because when you look at it, I think I've had this conversation before. I do, because I think Dak is a better passer.
Who's the better player?
Because I was about to finish my sentence, but Dak is the better player because Lamar
That's
is
crazy.
Dak's passing ability, in my opinion, supersedes Lamar's rushing ability.
That's crazy.
I think that's it's the same for Dak for Lamar and Jalen Hurts.
Me with Jalen Hurts. I'll even say that.
Feel like if you prefer a rushing quarterback, I've had my friend with one of my best friends, Lance. He prefers a rushing quarterback. He wants his quarterback to be.
Lance needs to worry about Tua not becoming a vegetable. Okay, he's a Dolphins fan.
I mean, that's out of his control.
That's out of his control.
But in his opinion, when it comes to quarterbacks, he prefers their rushing ability to be more of a threat than just something like of a asset they have. He wants it to be one of their main
assets. Wholeheartedly believe Dak Prescott is a better overall football player than Lamar Jackson?
Yes.
I strongly disagree.
Because I think the only aspect of an NFL game
rushing?
Is that he's better than Dak. It is rushing. And it is by a long shot. It's not even close. But I think his passing ability...
See, you might have got me with that a few years ago, but I'm not going to lie to you, man. Like, recently, like, this season, last year, like, Lamar has elevated his passing game.
Last year specifically. If you look at what Dak did passing-wise, what Lamar did passing-wise wasn't close to what
also,
Dak did.
But, again, we also – again, and let's be real here, all right, Dak has a number one target in CD, right? We'll slide Patrick Mahomes up to the side because he's an alien. We know that.
If you look at their teams right now, I think the gap between CeeDee Lamb and Zay Flowers is so much smaller than the gap between Derrick Henry and Rico Dowdle. I mean, call me crazy. I think even if you look at last season, I think his defense.
Yeah, no, but we're just talking about Lamar and Dak right now. Over the course of his career, who's been the best receiver Lamar Jackson's had, honestly? I can't even think.
Probably Zay Flowers.
Probably right. Like, that's...
Yeah.
Zay Flowers, in my opinion, at least not right now, he hasn't shown it to me enough yet. He is not a number one receiver.
I don't think Lamar's receivers have been as good as Dak's, but I think his overall teams...
But we're just talking about quarterback play. Because I think when we look at the top quarterbacks, right? Hey, you can name every other person, every other top QB in the conversation, whatever. Patrick, Dak, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Joe Burrow, whoever, right? Brock Purdy. They have had top level wide receivers. Lamar Jackson has not.
I agree. He has had the worst receivers.
Right? He hasn't, and he's still out here doing whatever. Not only running the football, but passing. He's making it happen with tight ends.
I don't think you might realize how much lower his passing numbers or his like passing numbers are to them. And I do like. I agree that that could be the contributing factor that is having worse receivers.
I
but it's not even like he has like thousands of yards less than these dudes in the season.
His and I will say
like
his
we're
his,
not thousands like two but like over a thousand
his
yards.
His first MVP season, like his overall numbers, like they weren't like amazing, but it was kind of like
they were that year. Last year's MVP, they weren't amazing.
They were kind of on par with the first year though. Whatever.
I think for once he threw like over 3,000.
I'm getting off point. Yeah. I just listen.
I've told you this. The only quarterback I think that is hands down better than Dak Prescott is Patrick Mahomes. But every other quarterback that's in the top seven has things that they excel at that are better than the others. But
who's a better passer? Who's a better passer? Dak Prescott or Josh Allen? A better passer.
Dak, he's more. Josh Allen is stronger, can throw far. Dak is way. He's more accurate.
Oh my god. Fair, because I didn't break down.
And for once, Josh Allen
is not turning the football over.
This is I think year eight for him, and then he has 1 year where he's not turning the ball over.
He threw one pick this past weekend, but
and that it wasn't even his fault. I think it tipped off a receiver.
I didn't get a chance to watch them play Miami.
I can give him credit for this season, but I think if you look at their overall careers,
you know what, Lando, I will give you respect for always riding for your guy Dak. I disagree with you,
and it's not even riding for Dak.
It is riding for Dak.
No, because
you are probably the only person that would honestly say Dak Prescott's the second best quarterback in the league.
No, that's not what. See, that's what I'm.
That's not what you're saying.
I'm saying all of these guys, none of them have anything. They have specific things that they are better at than the other player. But when it comes to who's actually better? It's so much more determined on what's around them and what.
So
what
just give me your top five right now. Top five quarterbacks in order.
I've told you this before. There is no order. It's Patrick Mahomes, and then the next guys.
Patrick is one. Who's number two?
You
had to put somebody number two. Who's number two?
I don't have Dak.
I'm telling you, put it at
somebody. And I'm telling you, Dak, Lamar, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts, C.J. Stroud.
So Dak is the second best quarterback in the league to you.
All of them are. It's a tier list.
Forget that. Make a list.
I don't have a list. A tier.
Mahomes. We are in agreement. No, Patrick Mahomes on top.
No, because what I'm telling you is I do not have a list, because in my mind that's not how football works.
How?
Because there's nothing you can tell me that. It's too situational.
If you change
those quarterbacks around, you'll get the same result.
Maybe, but forget that.
There's nothing you can tell me about that Josh Allen can do that C.J. Stroud can't do in terms of what if you switch them and put them in the same situation.
That's a lie.
How?
Something Josh Allen can do that C.J. Stroud can't do? C.J. Stroud is nowhere near. He's a good athlete, but he is nowhere near the athlete Josh Allen is.
Yes, but on the flip side, C.J. Stroud is way more accurate of a passer. His decision-making is insanely better. When it comes to turning the ball over, it's night and day with C.J. Stroud and Josh Allen. That's what I'm trying to say. The things
Lando.
One quarterback might have something he excels at, but then there's takeaways
other player.
No, because they're equal in my opinion.
No, dude.
Josh Allen's ability to run the ball and his athleticism is his plus, but his takeaway is he turns the ball over. But in the same sense, C.J. Stroud, he's not as athletic, but he protects the ball better. He's more accurate of a passer. And it's equal. It's give and take. What they do on the field, it translates to the same thing in their specific skill set.
Lando, when you watch dudes play, when you watch quarterbacks play.
Yes.
Who in your mind is the second best? Patrick Mahomes is in tier by himself. He's number one. Is two, three, four, and five to you?
I don't see a single quarterback that's doing anything that makes me think they're better than the next guy. There's nothing I see from Jalen Hurts that I see from that Joe Burrow wouldn't do in that same situation. In the same, is Joe Burrow as athletic as Jalen Hurts? No, but I think Joe Burrow is a better passer than Jalen Hurts, so he might not have as many rushing touchdowns, but he'll have way more passing touchdowns with receivers like that, like he does on his team.
Like you can see it, though. Are you telling me you can't see it?
No, because
You don't believe in the eye test?
Oh, absolutely not.
Okay, I think he doesn't believe in the eye test.
Insane thing
I don't
to
think
judge
so,
people
dude.
Off of. because there, you know, I don't know how many people are there. It's 9 billion people, so that's probably 18 billion eyes. You know how many different eyes there are? How do you gauge? How are people supposed to gauge?
So let me ask you this: what separates Dak Prescott from Bryce Young?
Everything.
but on paper, you're saying Bryce Young can do everything Dak can do, right?
No.
Are you sure? Because that sounds like that's what you're saying.
No, he's not one of the seven quarterbacks I just named. He's in.
So then, okay, so
everyone
then,
in that tier can do the same thing, and then when you go a tier lower, then you get this. Bryce Young is way down there. Then you got guys like Jordan Love, Brock Purdy.
I'm sorry, dude.
Who else would be in that tier? Caleb's probably like the same. I don't know how if you watch First Things First, but what the way they do Mahomes Mountain, it's exactly what it is. It's not an exact ranking. It's a tier
list. I don't disagree. Listen, Patrick Mahomes is number one by far. That is not. I'm not arguing that. I'm with you on that. I don't agree in that. Like, it's Patrick Mahomes, and then sure, I see why you and other people put everybody in like one bag, one mixed bag, but. To me, there is still a clear-cut list. Like, right now, for me personally, like, right now, this season, top five quarterbacks to me, Patrick Mahomes, number one. I'll go Lamar, number two. I'll go Jared Goff, number three. I'll go Josh Allen, four. I'm going to slide. Who am I going to slide in a fifth? I'm gonna slide Jalen Hurts in F5.
Okay.
I'm gonna slide Jalen Hurts in F5.
So Joe Burrow, quarterback who's played in the Super Bowl, that big on. Mm-hmm. But you have Jared Goff third.
Is Jared Goff playing better than
No.
Is he a better quarterback than Joe Burrow right now?
I'm saying if you have Joe Burrow on the current Detroit Lions, they're not in the same position or not better.
Maybe. Yeah, probably. So but you can play that what if game all day, dude.
I mean,
you can play right. You can play that what if game all day.
Yeah, but that we've seen him with a team just as good, and they've gone. We've seen these. Well, that's what I think. I've seen
these quarterbacks Joe Burrow
in that tier. When we see them with teams even half as good as that, they do just as good as that.
Yeah. So what's the point you're trying to make?
That it's more. It's Like I said last time, I don't believe in giving the quarterback all the credit or the.
I do not think that.
I think it's
quarterbacking is just like, yeah, don't get me wrong. Situation plays a part in it, but that's not like I believe in the eye test. I'm not saying it's the end all be all, but I believe in the eye test, and I know what I've seen from certain guys, okay?
I think even in other position groups, like wide receiver, I don't have a top five. I have a tier list.
Now, it's interesting. I'm not going to say it's different. That's interesting because, like, I almost agree with you on wide receiver because I will say, and I've said it before, I don't see, like, no, you know, I'm lying. Like, to me, it's Justin Jefferson. He's clearly number one. But, like, after that, I don't see what Ja'Marr Chase can do that A.J. Brown doesn't already do. I don't see, so I'll agree with you on that. But quarterbacking, nah, for me, dude, I see it. And to me, I'm taking Lamar over Dak. And I'm taking Lamar over Dak. Don't get me wrong. I think Dak is a top 10 quarterback, but I'm taking Lamar over Dak easy. And, like, if you're asking me, like, I think Lamar Jackson is a game changer. I don't feel that way about Dak. I think he's a really good quarterback at times, but I don't think he's a game breaker. I don't think he's a game changer like Lamar Jackson is, me personally.
I disagree.
That's fair. That's fair. Wow, okay. I wasn't even expecting that, but okay. Trade deadline, it came and it went today. Y'all added a Jonathan Mingo.
That's it. And now, here's where I'm like... I can deal with injuries that comes with the game. I mean, it was Mike McCarthy's last year. That was very frustrating.
Uh-huh.
But I told my friends this today. The only thing in the entire world, the only thing that ever makes me question whether or not I still want to be a fan of the Dallas Cowboys is when Jerry Jones does things like this. I'm wearing my Amari Cooper jersey today.
He is a reminder
of just some of the boneheadedness things that Jerry Jones does. He traded Amari Cooper away. He traded for him for a first round pick.
Yep.
Which at the time might have been a little expensive, but
no, nah, I would have given up a first for Cooper.
It completely changed our. So it proved it might have been expensive, but it changed. It proved to be worth it in the end.
It was a good move.
He returned it. The return on investment was fulfilled.
Right.
So I can't even be mad.
Right.
But then he traded him away for a fifth round pick, basically, because it was a fifth and a sixth.
A bag of
for
chips.
For a fifth and a sixth, I think, like something like that.
Bag
it was
of
Amari
chips.
And a sixth for a fifth and a sixth. So, yeah, pretty much nothing. And then, just to make matters worse, when the Browns traded him to the Bills, they got a third round pick for him.
Yep.
He had his best years in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't understand how Jerry let that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Then, if you look around the league, we traded a fourth round pick for a player who's never scored a touchdown.
Yep.
It was only his second year in the league.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look around with the rest of the league, you got some of the greatest receivers of our generation.
D-Hop.
Going for the same or similar. D-Hop went for a conditional fourth. So it's only a fourth if the Chiefs don't make – I mean, which it'll probably be a fourth.
Right.
If the Chiefs make the Super Bowl or if it's a certain amount. But it has a chance to be a fifth.
Mm-hmm.
So a worse pick than what we got for Jonathan Mingo for. I think who else got traded away?
Mike Williams got traded.
Mike Williams got traded away.
Deontay Johnson got traded.
Deontay, from the same team, a better player got traded for a fifth-round pick.
Yep, to Baltimore.
If you look at their numbers, Deontay Johnson played 7 games in Carolina and had better numbers than Jonathan Mingo did his entire rookie season.
Yeah.
More touchdowns. I think he had a few less yards, but it was in half the games.
Yeah.
And got traded for a fifth round pick, and we got traded Jonathan Mingo for a fourth.
Yep.
I'm just confused on how Jerry.
Are you confused, or are you just over how Jerry does business?
No, at this point, it's confusion. I'm genuinely concerned on how he thinks that these moves are positive moves, that he's. And he's, like, winning these trades. He loses every trade he makes.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like people see 214 on their area code, and they get to, like, oh, yeah, here we go, y'all.
Yeah.
Here we go. We're about to fleece them now.
Licking their chops.
I just don't understand.
Dallas is calling. Jerry calling. What are we going to fleece them for now?
He trades for players nobody wants, and he thinks he's so smart.
Yeah.
He thinks that Jonathan Mingo
Isn't that the next guy? Yep.
On the worst team in the NFL. And he found a diamond in the rough.
Yep.
Which,
hey, I mean, look, the jury's still out. The trade just happened today. You never know, but the likelihood is Jonathan Mingo is no better than what's his name, Ryan Fournoy.
Every trade that I've said, like when I talk bad, not talk bad, but how when y'all traded for Julio, when y'all traded for Jahan Dotson, who actually did make a play for y'all.
He did. Dude, that catch was crazy.
Exactly. He did.
I hope he's starting to come alive.
Given my honest opinion and not really thought too much of those trades, this is by far worse than any of those trades. Not even close.
Yeah. Well, we brought in Julio. He was a free agent, but no, I get what you're saying.
Right, that wasn't a trade.
No, I get what you're saying.
I'm just...
You're at a loss for words.
Just
confused.
Confused on
flabbergasted.
I'm
speechless.
Don't know how Jerry does. I want to know what he does in these trade
rooms. What his thought process is.
What his thought process is behind these.
And right.
Then to trade away our picks on a team where we need those picks right now. Why are we buying? Why are we trading for a wide receiver when our quarterback?
Y'all should have been selling, right? I guess. But I mean, who would y'all? I mean, I don't even know who would y'all be. Y'all have anybody that was like worth trading for?
We need to
like right now.
We need to trade Trey Lance before they play him.
Oh.
I was talking to one of my coworkers. He was like, "So why you think they're gonna play Trey?" And I was like, "I hope not. If we trade him, if we're able to trade him now before he sees the field, we might have
You might have a chance to actually get something.
The least amount people see of him playing, the more people see him play, the lower his trade value goes.
Would y'all trade him? Would y'all trade for him?
A fourth round
pick. Was it a fourth? I was about to say, I mean, you might be able to get a fifth maybe for him now.
With the way people trade with Jerry, we'd be lucky to get a sixth. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And if you just look across, I don't understand why he refuses.
Better players were available. Yeah,
what the rest of the league is doing.
You know what, dude? There's that. What is it? Is that the God complex? Or like the smartest guy in the room complex?
Yeah,
right. Like you think the moves you're making, because you don't want to be like everybody else, right? So you think the moves you're making are the moves, right? When exactly. In reality, like no, you're just taking 3, 4, or 5 steps backwards. When you got everybody else making moves that are winning moves.
Every single team that's contending either made
every major
moves,
trade that went down and it was a good move.
Right. Except Jonathan Mingo for a 4th round pick.
Yeah. No, well, yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't even call that a major trade. But I mean, no disrespect, but like that. I mean, like you said, the season's over. Dallas is over. Before we get into the other trades, though, because I was going to ask you, I mean, they're going to put Dak on IR, right? CD. I know they said he could play. I'll be honest with you. I think Dak's injury is the clear like ticket for y'all to just call it. Put Dak on IR, put CD on IR, just let Cooper and the gang play. Whatever. If y'all get 1 or 2 more wins, great. Right? But just let those guys let those guys play and then like y'all get the highest draft pick possible, right? And then you just start fresh. To me, that should be y'all's plan.
Yeah, I was shaking my head.
I thought you were saying no.
I was shaking my head at 1 or 2 more wins.
Oh.
Don't do that.
Oh, well, no, I'm just saying, because, you know, they might get lucky and win 1 or 2 more games. But,
absolutely. This is the perfect. That would be the perfect thing.
This is the perfect ticket for that, right?
Like I said earlier in the episode, that's what I think we should do. We should go try to get the highest pick we have. Hopefully, we can get a top 5 pick.
Let Micah heal up. Let DeMarcus heal up.
Literally have our entire team come back next year with a top 5 pick.
Yeah.
And I would want to use that to, because we would have a top 5 pick in every round. I would want to trade that back for 2 picks in each round.
Yeah.
And I know who I want with those first 6 picks. We'll get to it at a later date.
And who knows? Those names might change, but
don't. I like these guys.
Yeah, no. I mean, you never know, but.
None of them are from Michigan. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that's funny.
I saw somebody made like a meme or like a graphic today, and it was the meme of Spider-Man holding like the train together, right? And it was Cowboys like wanting to draft Michigan player, a whole bunch of Michigan, and then Jordan Lewis in the middle because he's the only player that I've said that before.
That's funny,
from Michigan. That I'm like, I like that. The rest are. At this point, like draft bust.
I'm going to tell you right now, if y'all could, which y'all probably won't because y'all are set at corner, but if y'all can get our guy Will Johnson, he's literally the best corner in the draft. I'm not joking.
No, he's not.
He literally is the best corner in the draft. Yes, he is. He's better than Travis Hunter. I don't want to hear it. He's better than Travis Hunter.
I don't even think the best corner in the draft
is who
goes to the University of Texas.
Stop it.
Jahdae Barron is the number one corner in the draft.
No, I'm not even going for that. But fair. We'll agree to disagree on that.
He's on the list.
I'm sure he is. It's running everything but sunshine and rainbows in Dallas.
It's over.
It's over. It's okay. We'll get a little bit into more of that later. But as we said, trade deadline happened. It came. It went. There were a few big trades that went down. The Lions got a pass rusher to replace Aiden Hutchinson. They got Za'Darius Smith from Cleveland. Your thoughts and your grade on the trade, A through F.
Hey, I feel like I think he's obviously not.
He's not what he used to be for sure.
I'm just in a position where like the effort is such a such a beautiful thing to see.
Brad Holmes, the GM,
right? It's just like, man, like a guy went down and they're like, you know what? We're not, even though
we're still
playing
Super Bowl
well,
content,
we're still doing great. Still, we're gonna try to get better. And it's a player who's not as good as Aiden Hutchinson, obviously.
No, but
you do what you can,
right? Yeah.
So, B plus at worst.
I'd probably give it a. I'll say a clean B. I don't think Za'Darius has done a lot in Cleveland this year. But again, we spoke about this before. Amari didn't look great in Cleveland. Again, I think when you're playing for a losing situation on a losing team, it just might not be there for you, right? So Za'Darius is going to Detroit. And to me right now, they're the best team in football. I think we will see a resurgence in play. In my opinion, like I said, I'll give that a clean B. Moving on next, we got, to me, the second best team in the NFL right now, the Baltimore Ravens. They added Tre'Davious White, corner, former All-Pro from the Buffalo Bills. He was playing for the Rams. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest with you, to me, Tre'Davious White has looked like a shell of himself ever since he came back from those injuries.
Right.
I don't know exactly what Baltimore's secondary situation is looking like. I don't know. To me, also, I'll be real with you, Marlon Humphrey, their former All-Pro player, he looked like he's taking a step back.
Yeah, definitely.
So maybe Baltimore, they're thinking they're adding a depth piece, and he is a former All-Pro player, so who knows? Maybe, you know, he goes from the Rams. The Rams are a pretty good team, but if he goes from the Rams to the Ravens, maybe they can get him in that, you know, that defense, and he can figure it out again, maybe. But like you said before, the effort is there, right? You're bringing in a guy who you know has shown the potential to play at an All-Pro level.
Right.
So I'll give that a C plus.
I was gonna say a B.
B, yeah, I'll give it a C plus. Just because, like I said, Tre'Davious White, he hasn't looked like himself since the injuries. But who knows? Maybe a change of scenery. Maybe going to Baltimore, that can change that. Did you have anything you want to add on that one?
No, you pretty much hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, yeah. This next one's gonna kill me.
Yeah.
Moving on to Washington,
trading for Marshawn Lattimore. I think that's a solid piece for them, just getting their defense better.
Yeah, maybe. I'll be real with you. Me personally, I feel like Marshawn Lattimore has been a bit overrated his whole career.
Yeah, I think he's just overly aggressive, and
I just think, like, I don't know. He's always been labeled as, like, a, you know, one of the top corner guys at corner, and, like, I feel like I've seen him at a good year. I've seen him at an inconsistent year. Like, I've always – it's either one of the two, right? To me, I haven't seen that. Like, same thing for me personally with Patrick Peterson. You know, when he was in his heyday, I thought he was too inconsistent. I thought one year he'd have an All-Pro year, then the next he's getting burnt like toast. But Marshawn Lattimore, obviously he's a good player. I'm not saying he's not a good player, but the Commanders to add him. Now, granted, I mean, the real thing with him right now is injuries. He's had a few injury-plagued seasons.
Definitely.
You know, obviously Washington right now in the division, it's us in Philly and then them in Washington right now, and Washington's out here still winning games, so that's definitely a good move for them. You know, help that defense, which, I mean, their defense is already pretty good. Like, they got guys at every level, right? And you got Dan Quinn leading the ship there. So, like, as we said before, that's a winning move. Right? Yeah. The theme here has been winning moves for teams that feel like they are in a spot to contend, right? Going on down the list, you got Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh made two moves. One of them, we heard it was coming pretty soon, right? We heard about it for the past few weeks. They added Mike Williams, the receiver from the Jets.
Right.
What do you think? How do you feel about that trade?
I think, well, I mean, when healthy, he's a really good receiver. He's just always hurt.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah,
it'll just depend on his health, how available he'll be for Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
If he's there, it's a great target for him. It'll definitely
open things up. George Pickens.
Definitely open some things up.
Yep.
He's literally just got to stay on the field.
So what would you give it?
I give it a B minus.
Okay.
Just because of how injury prone he's been.
Right. You know, I'm going to give it a B plus. I see what you're saying, though, and I agree with everything you just said. Me personally, I don't even think Mike Williams was like, I don't think he was that hurt this year so far. I just think he couldn't get on the field. You know, the Jets, which, whatever, I don't even know what to make of them right now. But the Jets, they were all over the place, you know, to the first 8 weeks of the season. And Mike Williams was just like, he was just like another character there, right? He was in and out. He didn't get consistent reps. Some weeks he didn't play. So I don't even know. I think Mike Williams is ready to go. And I think Pittsburgh, I think Mike Tomlin is going to give him that opportunity to get out there and play alongside Russell Wilson. And, you know, George Pickens and everything. They got Pat Freiermuth. They got Darnell Washington. They got Calvin Austin. Yeah, Pittsburgh, man. Like, you give Russ another target, bro. And you give him another jump ball target. Because, I mean, let's be real. Russ is deep ball, bro. I mean, it's second to none. All right, the way that man throws that rainbow ball is crazy. All right, so I think that's a really good move for them. They also added – now, this move surprised me. I don't know about you, but this move surprised me. They added Preston Smith, edge player from Green Bay. Your thoughts?
Definitely didn't see it coming.
I did not see that coming at all.
It's definitely – it'll be an addition to their defense they needed. That was something that in that game we played against them, pressure against the quarterback was something that – wasn't something they struggled with. When they did get it, it was beneficial, obviously.
Right.
It wasn't consistent. So I think
maybe they just felt like the guys behind Alex Highsmith and TJ Watt weren't consistent enough, maybe.
Right. They just needed just another piece in there to, you know, get that rotation. Just another name in that rotation.
You can never have too much on the D-line, dog.
Right.
Never.
It's not a position where you just got one, maybe two guys. You're constantly rotating those guys out. So, what would you give it a four grade?
I would give it, man, because Preston Smith, I mean, I know he has been like amazing recently, but like, you know, his time in Green Bay, because he, you know, former Washington Commander, mm-hmm. His time in Green Bay, man, he did some numbers with Za'Darius Smith like two seasons ago.
Right.
I'll give it a B plus. I'll give it a B plus.
Okay. I'll give it a B.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right around the same.
Yeah. And to round it out, man, this one was kind of like a, I see why they did it, but it wasn't like a splash move since he added running back Khalil Herbert from Chicago. Obviously, Zach Moss, their free agent running back they picked up, he's out indefinitely with a neck injury.
Right.
So I figured they picked Khalil Herbert up to just be another depth piece, maybe a third down running back, because I'm not going to lie, I feel like since he has their running back in Chase Brown, I don't know if you've been peeping him recently, but he's been balling recently for them.
Yeah, I think Khalil Herbert, like you said, he'll be more of like a third down back, the rotational guy.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a too much of a big.
It's not a splash move, trade, but I guess it filled a position of need, right, with Zach Moss going down.
Right.
But nevertheless, Cincy is still in the mix making quote-unquote winning moves.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to say this right now. Nick Sirianni should be fired. I'm calling for his job now.
What did he do this week?
He left 12 points on the board, dude. Like he left 12 points on the board because he wanted to be overly aggressive when we're dominating Jacksonville in Philly. Like first half Lando, first half, it is a flawless performance. Second half comes, Jacksonville, they come out in a no-huddle offense, right? Now it's giving the defense a little bit of issues. And they march down the field, they score. And then we get the ball back. We're moving the ball and everything. And Nick Sirianni, oh my God, this dude, he just, like, it's as if, I don't know if he has a beef with Jake Elliott. I don't know what it is. It's funny, I was talking to my coworker about this. He's also an Eagles fan. For me, I think when it comes to Nick Sirianni, I think for him, it is like he wants to prove that he's right. It's like Jerry, right? He wants to be the smartest guy in the room.
Oh, he's going for it on fourth a lot.
He's always going, dude, like, and it's like, why? Like, when you're dominating at home,
just take the points.
I'm going to say this right now. He's lucky N'Kobe Dean made a heck of a play. Because if N'Kobe Dean doesn't make that play, we might lose, bro. I'm not going to lie to you. And I'm telling you right now, if we would have lost that game, I hope Jeffrey Lurie would have fired Nick on the spot. It's just, you can't do that, man. Take the points. You don't got to go for it on fourth down every time.
Right, that's the situation you put the team in. That
yes,
don't pick it up every time,
dude. Like, it's my brother's a diehard Lions fan, right? Diehard Lions fan, man. He's ecstatic about the season, right? His only thing, he literally said this: I just need Dan Campbell to not screw us.
Yeah,
and it seems like so far this season, Dan Campbell has learned from his mistakes from last year, right?
Right, I know all too well.
Right, I do not think Nick Sirianni has learned.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he will learn. I literally feel like we're going to start winning in spite of our head coach. Because if you're doing that, if you're playing with points like that against Jacksonville, what are you going to do in the games that matter, right? We got y'all coming up, which granted, y'all are having a bad season, but divisional games are always tough. We got Washington coming up twice, right? We got the Rams coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Dog, like you can't do that, dude. Like you can't. You don't have to go for it every time. And it's crazy because, like, he finally lets Jake Elliott trot out there in the fourth quarter and kick a 50-plus yarder, right? Now, granted, he hasn't kicked any other field goals.
Right.
Right, so he's cold. So he's cold. So what happens? Of course he misses it. Like, dude, I just Nick Sirianni, he's giving me a headache, bro. I'm done with him. Like, I'm officially done with him. We are literally going to win in spite of our head coach. And at this point, I would literally be okay if we fired him and just said, let Vic Fangio, our defensive coordinator, let him be the head coach. He's been a head coach before, and Vic knows all he does is touch the defense. He doesn't touch the offense. So, Kellen, you got it, dog. You got it. I swear to you, I feel more comfortable in that than letting Nick Sirianni come out here with this team, bro. I'm talking about Nick Sirianni squandering 12 points when we watched Saquon Barkley hurdle a dude backwards.
That was insane.
I'm sitting here talking about how my head coach squandered 12 points off the board.
Yeah, that shit. It could have been a blowout,
dude.
And then that highlight would have been. He could have sabotaged that entire day.
He absolutely could have. Absolutely could have. So yeah, I'm done with Nick Sirianni. He needs to go. I don't even care. I'm at a point. My coworker, he literally says, like, he could take us to the Super Bowl. He still needs to go. And I'm at that point. Like, he's taken us to one before, right? We can go this year. I'm at that point because I legit do not see this man. I don't see him reflecting and just saying, you know what? I need to be better. Like, you say all this, you do all that coach speak, right? You say this, we need to get back to the fundamentals, all this. You'd say that every week. And just when I think I'm starting to give you some points back, just when I think you're starting to earn my respect back, you do what you did Sunday, Nick. I can't, bro. I'm done with him. Nick Sirianni needs to go. He needs to be fired. Like I said, I'd be totally fine with Vic taking over right now. He got to go, bro. I'm sorry. Because I just like I said, we are going to win in spite of our head coach, bro. That is what it feels like is about to start happening. We're going to win in spite of him, right? Because, dude, on paper, we should blow y'all out next week, right? On paper. Why do I feel like I'm going to come on here next week and talk about how Nick Sirianni mismanaged the game and how he made it close? He gave Jacksonville momentum. They was also aided by the refs, which I'm going to get into in a second. But he gave Jacksonville momentum. And I'm going to say this right now. I'll be honest. In that second half, Doug Peterson outcoached Nick Sirianni. Flat out. He outcoached Nick Sirianni. Trevor Lawrence just made a horrible throw. And Nakobe Dean made a heck of a play. That is what it came down to when it shouldn't have even been close. It shouldn't have even been close. I had to get that out, man. I had to get that out. Going back to Saquon. Because I am tired. I am so tired of these refs. And we spoke about it last week. I am so tired of these refs missing calls. And I'm so tired of New York not getting these calls right. What is New York supposed to be for, man?
Right.
If the refs miss the call, don't they see it? Aren't they supposed to call it out?
Yeah, I think if there's a clear penalty, like we said in that Vikings game, if it's a clear penalty on a play like that, New York should be able to step in and be like, hey, you guys missed a face mask.
Dude, did you see the Saquon fumble?
No.
Okay, so Saquon Barkley, this is the third quarter. Saquon Barkley, we're running the football, right? He literally, Lando, it's as clear as day. He gets tripped up by the DN, right? He's clear as day.
Oh, I did see he like hit his ankle and then.
And then he fumbled, right? Because he hit the ground. He fumbled. They scoop and score. Jacksonville scoop and scores. They review it. They don't call it back. That's crazy, bro. Because, and however you feel about the rule, whatever the rule book says, by the definition of the rule, Saquon Barkley was down by contact. That is the rule. That's what it says in the rule book. That's the letter of the land. Say what you want about how it's described, whatever. That was the rule. That is the rule. But he fumbled. He fumbled. No. And, like, to me at this point, dude, head coaches should be able to challenge that.
Yeah, I definitely think that should be able to challenge penalties.
Because that's like,
the only thing is, I don't think it'll help much. Like, I think it'll be just like on the NBA when they brought in the challenge and stuff. Challenges. And they always fail almost. There was a very low success rate.
I don't know where we go from here, bro.
Because I feel like refs are too prideful. The winning a challenge on like a penalty would have to be them admitting, oh yeah, we were wrong, and I don't think they like doing that too often.
Well, see, I'm wondering, like, maybe it's a challenge that automatically goes to New York,
right? Somebody above the refs,
right? And so they can look at it, because this is I'm sorry, bro. We've seen it. They've cost Super Bowl chances, Super Bowl appearances. They've cost, you know, playoff chances. They have cost teams seasons over missed calls over the years, right? Most recently, right? I'm thinking back to the Saints and the Rams game.
Right.
We all know
that was pass interference
that was not called against Nickell Robey Coleman. Last week, Sam Darnold got face mask, cost him an opportunity to win that game. This past week, Saquon Barkley fumbled.
George Kittle's touchdown against us, that was a clear offensive pass interference. Yeah.
Y'all should have had a chance to challenge that.
Two different refs threw the flag, and then they picked it up. I think it might have been the Commanders or the Cardinals. I feel like it was one of the a team I can't remember. I just remember the play in my head. Mm-hmm. But it was the same kind of pick play, even less contact, like an insanely less amount of contact than the George Kittle touchdown. And they did call it for offensive pass interference.
Right.
And it's just that's another thing that makes it hard is the inconsistency.
Yes.
There's too much human decision in it. Like, there's some things that
there's
like
too much room for human error. You think?
Right. Yeah. There's too it's too much up to their discretion. Like, right. Why things should go above them. Like, it's too. If obviously fans are biased, but it's just like if everyone like the Sam Darnold thing. We are not Vikings fans.
I can't be biased by the rules.
That's what I'm saying. We're not Vikings fans. We have no reason to root for them. His head got grabbed by the face mask and turned.
Yes.
There should be no way a referee should be able to look at that and say, I didn't see that.
And we can't. How can you be biased?
That was a face mask.
Right. Dude, okay. Yeah, Saquon Barkley happens to be my running back. Okay, whatever. Dude. If anybody, again, I mean, look how we felt about Sam Darnold. Bro, the rule book says if you get touched by a defender, you are down by contact. That is what the rule book says. So by the letter of the law, Saquon Barkley was down. How can I be biased against the rules? Come on, man. I don't know if there needs to be a third challenge that's like expedited to immediately to New York. And then, you know, New York can see it. Because at this point, what is New York for?
There just needs to be some type of checks and balance for the refs, just because them being the end all be all when some things are just clear as day.
They are costing team seasons.
It's just not. It shouldn't be allowed. Something should be done about it.
They are costing team seasons at this point.
And like I said, I hate that. I said this last episode. I hate that when they do. When people try to stop people from complaining about the refs or saying you shouldn't have even got it to where you leave it up to the refs, like take it. Like, I get that,
yeah.
But at the end of the day, their effect on the game is entirely too high.
Yes,
for us not to be able, like when they mess up.
And
to
what
not
are you talking about,
that.
Dude? Like, what, bro? This is pro sports. What are you talking about, dude?
Like they say, like you shouldn't be beating a team too much to where like it shouldn't come down
and
to
obviously
a last
you
play.
Hope, I mean, bro,
and it's just like
that's not the reality.
Yeah,
do y'all know how hard it is to win a game in the NFL? These are pro athletes. These are men that got families to feed.
These refs they need to be better at their job.
They do. But, like, I don't even like that because, like, you clearly don't understand how hard it is to win in the National Football League. Right? Like, it's not – come on, man. Like, and I'm going to tell you right now, like, even, like, going back to, like, the 0-16 Detroit Lions, right? Like, don't go out there and tell me you could do any better. Any Joe Schmo. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's crazy. I don't like that because that's crazy, bro. Like, dude, okay, yeah, of course, us in Philly last week – we were dominating in the first half, right? Momentum swings, right? Jacksonville scores quick on us. And then the refs aid them with a missed call. Stuff like that happens all the time. Come on, man. Come on, we got to be better than that. It ain't that simple. And like you said, refs' impacts on the game are way bigger than I think people even realize now, right? Because as I've said it before, they have cost teams seasons. Super Bowl appearances, the opportunity to play in one. Like, come on, man. They've got to be better. I don't know who the current, you know, head of the officiating is in the NFL, but, man, we got to look at this, bro. We got to look at this.
Also, because they're bad across all sports, and I also think it's dumb that players and coaches get fined for criticizing
speaking on the
them.
Refs. I think it depends like on what you're saying.
Yeah, because it's almost it feels like there's a
fine line.
You can obviously you can get like disrespectful or say things that aren't like allowed in the press conference. But
right.
If you're just saying, because I'm trying to think of an example of something somebody said that did get them a fine, but I don't know if when DeMarcus Lawrence went or not DeMarcus Cousins went on his rant like, oh, this is ridiculous.
This is ridiculous. This, right. Yeah.
Like.
I don't think that should be fine, but like, I can't think of specific examples. I mean, there's been so many, right? But like, I feel like if whatever you're complaining about or what you're upset about is literally within the bounds of the game, and you're like, you have like valid reasons as to why you're upset about a call or a missed call, or whatever, whatnot. If you're strictly critiquing that, I think that's fine. But if you're, you know, because dudes get emotional, right? Whatever, say whatever about a ref's family or like that dude, he sucks. He shouldn't be whatever like that. I get why you're finding them for that. But like, if it's strictly within the bounds of the game and what happened, then yeah, I think it should be fair game. Because I mean, and we don't hear, right? But Lord knows, refs be saying stuff about players.
Right.
Right. Like we don't hear, but we know. Right. We know. I mean, hey, just go watch. What was the NBA ref's name? Tim Donaghy.
He had his scandal about.
Yeah. I mean, just go watch the Netflix series on that.
Him and Chris Paul
talked all about it.
That was real beef.
Talked all about it. So, yeah, man, refs, they play a bigger part than I think even what we as fans want to admit to. But they play a big part in it, man. You know, if they don't call as fair and as clean a game as they can, things can get messed up real quick.
I have no problem. I remember when I played sports, I remember being like so mad when refs would like impact the game and like miss calls or make bad calls, and when you just weren't allowed to blame them or you weren't allowed to say anything about that because you can't really control that,
because then you get in trouble.
And it's just like that. It's just so frustrating. And I agree that you can't control it, but something is just like, let me express
how
frustrating this is,
right?
Because as a player, I know it's that's why they come out and are so emotional about it sometimes.
Right. I mean, this is sports, man. This is, you know, high emotion, high intensity, high stakes.
And it's like, that's the thing. With it being out of your control, that's what makes it worse, is because I'm giving this all I got. I did everything I could to win. And right. This dude who's not even playing, who doesn't have an athletic bone in his body, just decided that I lost, basically.
See, that comment right there probably would have got you fined. But
exactly.
I get what you're saying. But ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Birds at the Rodeo. I'm Eric, your residential Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
And this is Birds at the Rodeo. Please like, comment, subscribe. Peep us on YouTube. Peep us on TikTok.
Instagram, Twitter, everything. Check us out everywhere. Like you said, like, comment, subscribe.
Yes.
Turn on that notification bell.
Anywhere you can find podcasts, you can find us. Okay, so there's no excuses at this point. We're 10 weeks into this thing. No excuses at this point. We appreciate you all. Thank you for tuning in. Peace.
Later.